Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 62 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
But turn them away, that's the hardest thing for us right now, especially knowing they need to come in and have work done.
Changes to the state's Medicaid program are already affecting Kentucky residents.
Health centers are asking for federal funding.
The Moorhead Lakeview Heights Area Planning Commission is holding a public hearing tomorrow.
The Kentucky Division of Forestry is urging residents to be cautious about forest fires.
Police in Lexington are looking for two jewel thieves.
In sports, the Eagles make history on the beach.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 39. We'll have an extended weather forecast after this news.
Governor Matt Bevin signed the top priority comprehensive school safety bill that won broad bipartisan backing in both chambers today. The governor handed copies to the families of Preston Cope and Bailey Holt, two students killed by a gunman more than a year ago at Marshall County High School. Preston Cope's father, Brian, told WLEX he brought a personal item that helped keep his connection with his son alive.
I wanted to bring a piece of Preston, and this was his high school glove, and he designed it, and it meant a lot to him. He used it every day. I mean, I put my hands in it, and I just feel like I'm holding his hand. You know, a piece of him to be here, and I know he's here in spirit.
Bevin also signed a tax bill that would reduce state revenue by around $106 million a year while lowering taxes on banks, and Senate Bill 85, which requires anyone convicted of drunk driving to install what's called an ignition interlock device on his or her car ahead of the final day of the 2019 legislative session.
With Governor Matt Bevin's proposed Medicaid changes in effect, medical offices are already beginning to see disruptions to care. The changes add work and community service requirements, premiums, coverage lookout periods, and reporting duties. They're also expected to knock an estimated 95,000 people off Medicaid in the state. Jessica Clark Boyd is the office manager for Healthy Smiles Family and Cosmetic Dentistry in Prestonsburg. She tells the Herald Leader they're already turning people away.
About why don't I have dental? So we're trying to explain to them and, you know, apologizing that we're sorry we have to cancel your appointment because they don't have the money to pay for it up front. So what we're trying to do right now is just kind of schedule them ahead of time, hoping and praying that this will get resolved. Because it's sad, we've got a lot of patients that are Medicaid.
Several Democrats have stated their intentions to rescind the bill. They include State Representatives Rocky Adkins, Chris Harris, and Angie Hatton.
A recent study shows that Eastern Kentucky and the Appalachian region greatly benefited from the expansion of the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid. The study was conducted at the University of Kentucky, where researchers looked at the number of patients with colon cancer in the state and the process of identifying and treating that cancer. Colorectal surgeon Avinash Bhakta was one of the researchers who conducted the study.
We really wanted to see whether the Affordable Care Act and its Medicaid expansion had any impact at all on screening, incidence, and survival of colorectal cancer. We especially wanted to study this effect in our Eastern Kentucky Appalachian population. Kentucky is noted to have the highest incidence of colorectal cancer in the nation.
Kentucky saw an increase in screenings and cancer patients. However, the cancer was found earlier and patients had a higher survival rate.
Community health center advocates are meeting with members of Congress this week, asking them to support healthcare access in low-income neighborhoods with long-term federal grant funding. Community health centers are nonprofit clinics offering sliding scale fees to underserved populations. In many cities and rural areas, these health centers are the only places individuals can receive primary and preventive care. Bill Wagner is the CEO of Family Health Centers, a network of 8 clinics in the Louisville metro area. Last year, they provided medical care to more than 40,000 Kentuckians.
The community health centers around the country and in Kentucky are really the foundation for providing access to basic health services in communities. As we see an erosion of the public health departments and the services that they've been able to provide.
Federal funding for community health centers is set to expire in September.
The superintendent of Fayette County Public Schools is promising teachers the district will defend them if state education officials take action to punish employees who took part in a sick-out protest in Frankfort. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The Lexington Herald-Leader reports Superintendent Manny Cox sent a message to employees Friday, vowing to fight any, quote, adverse action taken by Kentucky Education Commissioner Wayne Lewis against teachers who called in sick to demonstrate against a number of bills in Frankfort. Fayette County schools closed just one day during the protests, but the district is one of 10 facing requests for information on teacher leave. While a Kentucky Department of Education spokesperson says the district has complied, no further details have been released. In his message to teachers, Cox said he believes the state could not legally take action against them. Lewis has said no disciplinary measures would be taken if the work stoppages cease. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Ivanka Trump will be visiting Kentucky for the second time in 5 months. WKYT reports the advisor and daughter to the president will tour Toyota's largest manufacturing plant in Georgetown on Thursday. Toyota Motor North America CEO Jim Lentz and Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky President Susan Elkington are scheduled to sign the White House's pledge to American workers as an effort to encourage private employers to properly train their workers. Trump will tour the plant, learn about the company's training program, and meet with employees and students.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
The Moorhead-Rowan County-Lakeview Heights Joint Planning Commission is planning to hold a public hearing for updates to the City of Moorhead zoning codes. The new adjustments would attempt to help clarify the codes and make them easier to understand. Rodney Fouch is the Moorhead City Planner. He says it's basically an overhaul.
The entire zoning code, which was originally written in 1978, when we didn't have things like hyperlinks, nice charts and spreadsheets and such, clarification of a lot of things, there's really no big massive changes in what the code says, but a lot more things are defined, things are in right places where they should be. You know, we have one section of definitions as opposed to definitions within each section.
The public hearing will be held at the Moorhead Conference Center tomorrow at 6 p.m.
Moorhead State University is hosting an online open house Thursday for its graduate programs. During the event, graduate school advisors will be online to provide information about graduate degree and certification options, admission, application process, and deadlines. Dr. Susan Maxey is the Director of Graduate Programs at MSU. She says the online format makes the event more accessible.
Online open houses work better for graduate students because normally when you have an event during the day, they're at work. So this online format allows them to contact us when it's convenient for them. So it's from 2 to 5, which is gets you it maybe a little past your lunchtime and also after work if you want to.
The Graduate School Online Open House takes place from 2 to 5 p.m. Thursday, March 28th. The $30 application fee will be waived for participants.
Students in Pike County are getting the opportunity to be part of a simulated space mission. WYMT reports students of Millard went to the Challenger Learning Center yesterday. The students sat inside a simulated space shuttle on a space mission. Director Tom Cravens says teachers academically prepared the students before letting them experience the simulation.
The teacher has worked with the students in advance before they have arrived at the Challenger Center, talking all about the science, technology.
Cravens says this gives students the opportunity to enhance their learning in the STEM field and how to apply that learning outside the classroom. The Challenger Learning Center is currently celebrating its 20th year of offering space-related programs for Kentucky students.
Tonight's Powerball jackpot of $750 million is the fourth largest lottery prize in U.S. history. The amount has been growing since December, the last time someone purchased a winning Powerball ticket. Tom Delisensori is the Kentucky Lottery president. He says with a jackpot this size, people have to beware of scams.
Yeah, unfortunately, when the jackpot gets big and the media really starts hyping it, there tends to be scams. And the scams can be a number of different things, but mostly they depend on calling you saying, we're from the Kentucky Lottery, great news, you won the Powerball. However, we're going to need some money to process the winnings.
The odds of winning the jackpot are 1 in 292 million.
The Kentucky Division of Forestry is urging people to be cautious about forest fires this season. In the Moorhead region alone, there have been 50 forest fires and 548 acres burned since the beginning of the year. KDF Chief Forester Floyd Willis says most forest fires are caused by humans, but there are some ways to prevent that from happening.
If it's a really very windy day, it's not a good day to burn because it can escape from you very quickly on windy days. So if you do have an area that you're, you know, a pile of brush or a campfire, you need to follow those precautions and also clear out around it and, you know, keep water on hand and also stay with it. Don't abandon firewood while it's burning. That way you could be there if something would happen.
Chief Willis also says citizens should not be burning fires from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., from October the 1st to December 1st, and February 15th through April the 30th.
Lexington police are working to identify two individuals who were caught on camera stealing from an area convenience store earlier this month. Authorities say these individuals stole $2,000 worth of jewel pins. They had their faces covered and did not threaten violence. Police say they have no reason to believe the two were armed. Mark Thomas is a detective with the Lexington Police Department. He tells LEX 18 if the individuals get away with it now, their crimes could escalate.
And they're lucky to be alive. And there's a very good chance that if these guys don't get stopped now by us, they're going to continue this behavior on and on and on until either they get hurt or somebody else gets hurt. And I don't think they ever wanted to cause any harm to anybody. But again, nobody really tried to physically stop them either. So we don't know how that may have turned out.
Detective Thomas also says the robbery was premeditated to report information that could lead to arrest. Call 859-253-2020.
A Kentucky man who killed his family and then took a high school classroom hostage 25 years ago has been denied parole. 42-year-old Clay Shrout was 17 in 1994 when he fatally shot his mother, father, and two sisters in their Boone County home, and then went to Ryle High School, where he held students hostage. During a hearing last week, Shrout told the parole board that he was sorry for his actions and that he's not a public threat and that he planned to move out of the state if released. According to WYMT, the state parole board decided Shrout will have to serve another 10 years before he'll be eligible to go before the parole board again.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight, clear with a low around 35. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 72. Thursday night, a 20% chance of showers after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 47. Friday, a 40% chance of showers mainly before 3 p.m., cloudy with a high near 65. Friday night, a 30% chance of precipitation with a low around 52. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, In Lexington, it's 61. In Inez, it's 64. In Ashland, it's 62. In Maysville, it's 60. In Flemingsburg, it's 59. And here in Moorhead, it's 62 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Moorhead State University's Theater Department opens an original play this week. WMKY's Cassidy Stearman has more.
I went on a spring break trip my freshman year of college to my family's farm. My brothers sent me on a snipe hunt that night. I knew on some level that I wouldn't find what I was looking for, but I still felt the need to go out and look for it. And that idea kind of blossomed into the idea that we are all on a snipe hunt looking for things we're not going to find.
That's Will Murphy, a senior at MSU who wrote The Snipe Hunter Circus. The play opens Thursday with shows on Friday and Saturday in the Lucille Caudle Little Theater in Breckenridge Hall. Director Becky Scott is the costume shop manager for the department. She volunteered to direct the second stage production.
So we had a student doing this script, and we knew that we were going to have the design team was going to be all student. I have previous experience working for the circus, previous experience designing for Clown College, so it seemed a pretty natural fit for me as they were trying to figure out who the best person was to come in to direct it. It just sort of made sense at the time.
Murphy says once he started the process, the show seemed to flow.
I knew I wanted each of the clowns in a scene with every other clown, so there's four clown scenes where one clown is the focus, and then there's three clown scenes, two clown scenes. So I kind of just laid that out to begin with, and then I started making up settings for them to be in, sort of things that complemented their personalities. I mean, it kind of wrote itself at that point.
Murphy used clowns to make the theme of the story a little lighter.
It's not, you never get what you want, so don't try. It's, you'll never get what you want, so enjoy what's around you. That's kind of where the idea of the circus and the clowns came in, because they're happy. They're never, like, there are points where they get frustrated, but in all, they're creatures made of fun and mirth. Like, they're exaggerations of ourselves, so they're always kind of funny. So I thought it would help put the lighter spin on the idea.
Scott has worked hard with the cast to make sure the play made an impact.
I think that what makes this show so cool is that they're clowns, but they're very relatable. And I really wanted that. I didn't want people to just look at it and be like, oh, it's a bunch of clowns. I wanted them to be able to relate personally to all of those clowns in some way.
Murphy is happy with the way his creation is being portrayed.
I especially like Becky's direction with the clowns' makeup and outfits, because they are supposed to be sort of postmodern ideas of clowns. They're not like full makeup, big wigs, floppy shoes clowns. They're voices for the story or the message in the script, so they have to be taken a little bit more seriously.
Which Murphy says is part of the process.
That's part of the circus, is that it's not just a script, it's not just dialogue, it's all of these different elements coming together, and actors, lights, stage, things like that. And then once you start adding even more things to that, it sort of becomes a circus. Like, we have the different acts, we have strange music. So yeah, it's really exciting to see it, because it wasn't really a circus until it gets staged the way it is now.
Scott says even people with chlorophobia can enjoy the production.
We tried very, very hard to not make the clowns freaky or scary. We know that, I mean, that's a legit thing, that people have fears of clowns. So I've worked very hard to make the clowns not scary and make them relatable so that it would be enjoyed by everybody.
Snipe Hunter Circus starts at 7:30 p.m. each night. Doors open at 7 p.m. and tickets are $7. For WMKY News, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
It's 449 and 62 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Naya Andweza, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Nacogdoches Miller has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pond, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pond buys, sells, trades, and loans almost anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Bypass Pond is open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 on Sundays. 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Phone number is 780-7296. Facebook and online, bypasspond.com.
The Eagles make history at the beach. For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller. Moorhead State's beach volleyball team made history Tuesday afternoon. The Eagles performed a clean sweep of its in-state rival, Eastern Kentucky, in the first ever NCAA-sanctioned beach volleyball match in Kentucky. In the 12 total flights played on the afternoon, Moorhead State captured each game in each flight, recording a 5-0 victory. Coach Jamie Gordon feels good about his team's performance in the match.
I think it'll be exciting for our players, but also for our fans. We've got a lot of community support to be able to put on this event, and something that I think the people in the area should definitely come and check out and really get to see volleyball play at its highest level.
Moorhead State returns home to Fazoli's Breadstick Beach on Saturday, hosting the program's inaugural Atlantic Sun Conference dual match. Moorhead State University baseball team is back at work today as they come off a tough loss to the University of Kentucky. The Eagles fell to the Wildcats last night in a 7-0 shutout. The Eagles had a few too many miscues in the game. However, a bright spot for the Eagles in the contest was the pitching performance of freshman Landon Waynes. Head coach Mike McGuire says Waynes' earned run average lowered from 213 to 184 during the game.
Landon has thrown the ball really well for us. You know, as a true freshman, he has really, you know, made an impact for us. And I think the key is, you know, he fills the strike zone up with three pitches. You know, 29 innings pitched, only 10 walks. I mean, he's really thrown the ball well, and you know, he's got a bright future for us.
MSU now prepares for a road series against UT Martin this weekend. Game one of the series is set for 7 o'clock Friday. Taking a look at your 16th region baseball action tonight, Raceland will travel to Fairland for a matchup at 5 p.m., Bath County heads to Menifee County at 5:30, and West Carter hosts Lewis County tonight at 6 p.m. In regional softball action, Elliott County heads to Greenup County, and East Carter will host Lewis County at 6 p.m. The Round County baseball team has a day to relax. The Vikings are competing in the Cal Ripken Experience this weekend in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They lost their first matchup on Monday and beat Kingston Tuesday afternoon 15-3. Coach Scott Collins says a player injury hurt the team before they could really get started.
Devin Stevens injured his shoulder, you know, so he's probably our, you know, our five-hole hitter and our third baseman. So, you know, we're going to have to divide up a game plan for today to see, you know, who goes where and who hits in what spot. So, that's a big blow to us. We're hoping he's not out very long, but we'll just have to wait and see about him.
The Vikings will be back in action tomorrow. They face Rootston, Ohio at 6:30 p.m. The head coach for the Northern Kentucky University women's basketball program is being accused of abuse by multiple players. WMKY's Haley Stedham has more.
Taryn Toffer is the lone senior on Northern Kentucky University's women's basketball team. And on Monday, she authorized a post to the website, The Odyssey, alleging emotional abuse by head coach Cameron Whitaker. Toffer named three other players in the post, and Burlington Free Press reports those players confirmed the allegations on social media. In the post, Toffer says the abuse came in the form of degradation, intimidation, and manipulating players to isolate them from others. In one instance, she says Whitaker punished a player for bringing her parents with her to a meeting. She claims the player, Reese Munger, was barred from coming to shoot before a game, the game itself, or the locker room, and proceeded to tell other players to avoid Munger because she was a bad friend and a teammate. Toffer also says NKU's athletic department has been compliant in silencing the abuse. The university has not released a comment on the matter, but says they will be looking into it further. For WMKY Sports, I'm Haley Stidham.
The Cincinnati Reds have wrapped up their final roster adjustments as they continue to prepare for opening day tomorrow. Nick Senzel was the number 6 overall prospect for Cincy, but ended up thinking he wasn't quite ready for the slot with the team. Senzel was adjusting to the new position in center field in the preseason, having formerly been a second and third baseman. He's been sent down to AAA in hopes and improving for that slot. He tells Reds.com it's a little hard to take, but he'll keep moving forward.
Not really hard feelings, just disappointing, just because I knew I put in a lot of work and effort into learning the position, and really that's it. It's hard for me to comment on that because, you know, that's the business side and all that is their job, so... But I just know he's trying to try and back me and support me. That's really all I got on that.
Season opener for the Reds will be at home against the Pittsburgh Pirates tomorrow afternoon. First pitch is set for 4:10. For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Beach Volleyball hosts Austin Peay on Saturday for two matches beginning at noon and 2 p.m. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell after a closely watched interest rate fell to its lowest level in more than a year as worries over a possible economic slowdown lingered. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 32.14 at 25,625.59. The S&P 500 was down 13.09 at 2805.37. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 48.15 at 7643.38. The benchmark 10-year U.S. Treasury traded at just under 2.39% today, marking the lowest level since December 15, 2017. Investors are keeping an eye on rates after the 10-year fell below the 3-month rate last week for the first time since 2007. And this development, which of course is referred to as an inverted yield curve, can be an early indicator of a recession. Healthcare, utilities, and energy were the worst performers today, falling more than 0.5% each. A biomed and advanced micro devices were among the biggest laggards in the S&P 500, sliding more than 3% each. Hard disk maker Western Digital also fell 3.6%. Shares of WellCare Health Plan surged more than 12.3% after announcing it would sell itself to Centene for $15.27 billion in a cash and stock deal. Centene shares dropped 5%. And Boeing rose 1% after the company unveiled fixes to its 737 MAX planes. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1% at $59.37 a barrel. Gold was down 0.5% at $1,308.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were slightly up today. The Stock 600 index finished with a gain of less than 0.1%. And overseas in Asia, markets were mixed. The Nikkei was down 0.25%. And the Shanghai Composite rose 0.7%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Travelers, while the worst performers were Walmart and Chevron. In the S&P 500, the best performers were WellCare and PulteGroup, while the worst performers were Centene and Western Digital. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp down 38 cents at 48.13, Delta Airlines up 88 cents at 49.97, Marathon Petroleum up 23 cents at 62.19, AK Steel up 5 cents at 2.76, Dollar General was down 7 cents at 118.70, and PPL Energy was down 12 cents to finish at 32.33. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Nacogdoches Miller, Haley Stidham, Cody Robinson, Grant Johnson, Keneally Roberts, Kenzie Thompson, Jacob Lindbergh, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Cassidy Stearman. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and Translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Naya and Weza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.